Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on this chilly evening here in northeastern Ohio. Not as bad as last week, though, I don't think. But you're certainly glad to have you with us here tonight. And we hope you'll be able to stick with us here. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And of course, find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can listen to past programs there. And in just a moment, I want to highlight a particular past program that you can find there, or will be able to shortly, I guess. Yes, it's there. I just did a double check. I didn't want to say it's there and it's not there. You can also see some other materials and listen to some, like I said, past programs, other materials, and some booklets and articles and things that we've written there. You can also link to our home church for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. So check that out, livewithpastoral.com. All right, and as I said, I wanted to mention a particular program I encourage you to go to. This past Friday, we did a combined show, Pastor Lutz and I, Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. Every once in a while, we do a combined program. He's on the air every Friday afternoon for the Cause of Christ is his program. Every Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock, encourage you to tune in there if you've not listened to him before. And then at 1:30, I'm on for a half an hour, and that is every Friday afternoon at 1:30. And so every once in a while, since we're both generally live in the studio, every once in a while we'll combine programs. This past Friday, we combined for a special program looking at what the Bible says about the death penalty. The reason we did that is because there is a move that we were looking at that is trying to infiltrate conservative groups and conservative churches, and they're using the death penalty as a wedge issue. There's a couple of groups, maybe you might have heard of some of them. There's a group called Conservatives Concerned About the Death Penalty. There's a group associated with them here in Ohio called Ohioans to Stop Executions. And if you look on some of their Facebook, social media, and things like that, Ohioans to Stop Executions speak very favorably and highlight conservatives concerned about the death penalty. And if you go to Conservatives Concerned About the Death Penalty, you'll find this little blurb on there that says, and it's not highlighted real in a way to call a lot of attention to it, but it is there so that they can be honest and say, well, at least we told people who we are. So it says, we are a project of Equal Justice USA, a national organization working to end the death penalty in the United States. Well, Equal Justice USA, if you go to their website and follow up through that and look at the people there and look at the site and what they do and what they stand for, you'll find out that Equal Justice USA is a far-left progressive organization. Has no friend of conservatives. People that are associated with it, the staff and all, hail from such stellar conservative groups as the Black Panther Party, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the ACLU, just the whole number of things here. I'm not going to take the time to go through everything in here again, but the director of Equal Justice USA, Jamila Hodge, executive director, she is the Let's see here. She comes to Equal Justice USA after launching Reshaping Prosecution Program at the Vera Institute of Justice, where she and her team worked with progressive prosecutors, community-based organizations, and people impacted by the system to develop policy and practice reforms to end mass incarceration and reduce racial disparities within the system. One of the signature initiatives she launched was Motion for Justice, which centers racial equality and transforming the role of the prosecutor and aims to implement concrete racial equity strategies in partnership with community-based organization. And it just goes on. And so you can see that the people who are behind conservatives concerned about the death penalty, a group that has ties with Ohioans to Stop Executions, is a profoundly left-wing progressive organization motivated by critical race theory, reducing the ability of prosecutors to actually prosecute criminals. And I'm not going to go into all. We spent some time on this on Friday, so I encourage you to check out our program. Go online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And to scroll down on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a list of our programs, and it's the Friday afternoon programs, 28 January, part one and part two, where we, Pastor Lutz and I, go into this. I think it'll be a blessing to you and help you understand some of the things that are going on with this attack on the death penalty and the effort to undermine, to divide, and to confuse, so chaos amongst the conservatives in our state, in our country, and to divide churches, to disrupt churches over this issue. They're looking at it as a wedge issue. We may talk about that some more later on in the program. Don't know just yet. Got some other things I want to get into, but let's open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless the program, Lord. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you and to use us for your glory. We just thank you for the opportunity. And we just pray your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, a couple other things I want to mention here, too. I wanted to mention the unexpected blessing and surprise that we received this past week. I had the opportunity to go down to Columbus, and just a lot of things to touch on here real quick. Had the opportunity to go down to Columbus this past week to speak at the Ohio House of Representatives. The Health Committee meeting held its hearings on House Bill 324. This is the bill that will ensure that Ohioans who are in the hospital can have a visit from their family members, from a clergy member, a pastor or somebody. And this is an important bill. You would think it just is common sense that a wife or a husband would be allowed to visit their spouse in the hospital or visit their adult child in the hospital, or an adult child could visit their parent in the hospital, or even teenagers visiting. The problem is that in some hospitals, yes, you can visit. They allow some limited visitation, which is reasonable when somebody is in an isolated area with a communicable disease. Before COVID was ever thought of, long before Dr. Fauci ever bought and paid for COVID, I had an opportunity to visit people that had infectious diseases, and I had to put a gown on, put booties on my feet, gloves on my hands, a mask up, and everything to go in and see somebody. And, pastors and others are more than willing to do that, to go see somebody and pray with them. And certainly family members are able to do that, to go in and just spend some time, even if it's just sitting with a family member. You know, a year ago, I believe it's a year ago today, I got out of the hospital where I had COVID pneumonia. I was in for 5 days. I went in January 25th. I was in there 5 days, and that was 1 year ago. And I remember last time I saw my wife was when they wheeled me out of the ER, waved to her as they were wheeling me out. And I did not see her for 5 days. Now, my wife, as an RN, certainly understood how to dress appropriately for the protocol of visiting somebody with communicable or infectious diseases. In fact, she's worked with people with COVID. And so I can understand even making the case perhaps for somebody who's not able to, but why wasn't she allowed to as an RN? Well, and even having said that, I almost walk that back and say anybody with, you know, reasonable common sense can be shown how to take reasonable precautions to be allowed to visit. And it's like I shared in my testimony before the committee, for 5 days, the only people I saw was an occasional visit by a doctor or a nurse or some other healthcare worker and the people who brought my food in and emptied the trash. That's it. And everybody was in and out really generally as short a time as possible because they had so many other people to visit with and not enough time. And so it was a time of isolation. And I was there. And as I said before, I'm somewhat of an introvert, so it wasn't too bad, really. But for somebody who's more extroverted, I can't hardly imagine how difficult it would be. But also, as a pastor, I've been in situations where people have wanted me to go in and see a loved one in the hospital, and I was not allowed to go in, not able to go in. And so I've seen it. And so House Bill 324, had a favorable hearing in the House of Representatives Health Committee. I was there. Pastor Gary Click, Fremont Baptist Temple, he is a representative for that area, that district. He's the one who is the person who put this bill forward. He was there. He had a couple from his church that had been impacted by this, a doctor that I believe that he knew that weighed in on the issue. And then, of course, I was there. Chris Long, president of Ohio Christian Alliance, was there. And then for some of our listeners, no doubt might know Pastor